Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and aren't subscribed, make sure and hit the subscribe button. Like and comment on the episode. Let us know what you think about the chat that we have. If there's a suggestion you have for a guest or a topic, let us know. We're always checking comments on there. Love to get your guys' feedback and then incorporate it into future episodes. Today, I'm going to be chatting with Brian Jellick from Jelly Built. And if you're a Power Stroke fan, you definitely know of him from his 7.3 that competed in DPC years ago. And now it's at 1,400 horsepower. He's going to tell us about it, some changes that are going to be happening for 2023. And then I wanted to learn more about 7.3 Power Strokes in general, get some horsepower recipes from him, talk about some things people should look for if you either just bought one or you're interested in one. Like, what are three things that you should look to either upgrade or eliminate as potential issues on the truck? Before we get to it, though, I want to thank one of our sponsors, which is Kershaw Knives. Our friends over there have a discount code for you. If you use code DIESEL20 on their website, you get 20% off site-wide. So it's a really good way to save some money. Holidays are approaching, or maybe for yourself, you need a knife for EDC or to throw in a toolbox or around the house or at the job site. And they got a lot of choices, really, regardless of what your budget is, they've got something for you. So make sure and check out Kershaw Knives on Instagram, Facebook. We're going to have a link down below to their website. You just click on over and then use code DIESEL20 to save 20%. All right, let's get to today's episode with Brian talking about 7.3 Power Strokes, his race truck, and three things you should look out for if you're interested in buying a 7.3 Power Stroke or you just picked one up. Brian, welcome back to the Diesel Podcast. I know it's been a couple of years since we chatted about 7.3s and racing, but I've had a lot of people reach out to me recently and say, hey, get Brian back on the podcast. I want to hear more about his truck. Or they have a 7.3 and they're looking to do some upgrades to it. And gosh, you've been kind of leading the way in that field for a really long time. So I couldn't think of anybody better to ask 7.3 questions to.
Love to be back on the podcast and share everybody what's going on with the truck and give a few pointers with the 7.3 crowd out there on how to make some power.
There's a lot of them, and they're really passionate about 7.3s. And it's one of the things I love about them is, and they love those trucks, and they're going to keep them forever. So it's really cool, to be able to do an episode about them. But we have a lot of new listeners, a lot of people that are new to diesel, and they might not know all that you've done with 7.3s and racing. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your company, your history with the 7.3 platform.
So I started messing with 7.3s back in 2007. Went to Diesel Power Challenge in 2010, which is, Diesel Power Magazine. Met a lot of people in the industry. When I went to Diesel Power Challenge, it was a great experience. Started tuning my truck about the same time, and just messing around with the truck, racing. Did a lot of sled pulling, a lot of drag racing. 12, 13 years ago. Fast forward to, I'd say, 2017. That's when Jelly Built started. I mainly do custom tuning, and I also sell performance parts for the 7.3s. So I've been around the engine for a long time, and
I remember that Diesel Power Challenge in 2010. Is I'd always get the magazines and I always want to see what was going on. And I remember that year specifically because it was filled with Cummins and Duramaxes. And I saw, this is this guy with a 7.3 out there. And it grabbed my attention, And I remember thinking, because at that time, I think a lot of the perception out there was, if you want to go fast, you need to have a Cummins or a Duramax. And you were competing with a 7.3. And then you've taken it to this whole other level now. But you mentioned the tuning part, and I just thought of a question when you mentioned that, is when you first started and as you've grown with that, what was the learning curve like, tuning one? Was it something you had a little bit of background with, or how did you go from, say, not tuning them to you're tuning your own truck and then expanding it into what it is today?
Just working with some other guys in the industry, they helped me get a little jump start on the tuning. And then just me learning on my own stuff. You know, I had my tow rig back then was a 7.3 dually, you know, just hook up the emulator to it and just, you know, tune in real time. So same thing with the race truck. It was a streetable truck back then. So I learned a lot, just going to the track, doing data logs, learning from that. It was, I mean, that's really the way I learned, just self-taught. And just reading a lot, you know, from different platforms, and I mean, it all pretty much the same. So
now with the race truck now, what's another question that people ask is, ask Brian how much power it's making or how fast is it going to go? Cause they, you know, they want to see those things. So
yeah,
tell us a little bit about where it's at now.
So, last month, we went a 538 at 128 miles an hour. And it's making roughly 1,400 horsepower at the flywheel based on track times using the Wallace eighth mile calculator, which is pretty accurate. So it's got more in it. Unfortunately, last month as well, we went to Rockingham and we lost oil pressure in the engine. So it spun two main bearings. So I have the engine torn down right now, and we're going to rebuild it. So we got some other guys involved. We're gonna make it better. So
that's a lot of power, and that's really moving. And it's so impressive to me to, I guess, because I've been just a diesel enthusiast for so long. Just, you know, you'd hear way back when, well, they can't make 600 horse, they can't make 800, or you know, 900 to 1,000 was like this ceiling almost. And then now we're talking 1,400. At the flywheel and the times you're running, that's a lot of progress.
Yeah, definitely. I've found the limits of the pretty much stock block with a girdle, you know, billet rods and a girdle, getting a lot of main cap walk. So it's going to be time for a bed plate on this next engine and probably a filled block. And this engine is capable of making 1,800 horsepower. It really is. You just have to spray a lot of nitrous to it. A lot. So it's a big boy nitrous is what some people would say.
What would you say would be some advancements that have really helped that platform be able to really make this kind of power, or just be able to, you know, keep the engine together? So for somebody who maybe they got a stock 7.3 and they bought it as, you know, something that they want to have some fun with, what are some things they should look at as they approach these, you know, the 4-digit power number that maybe didn't exist 5 or 10 years ago to be able to do it?
So for the guy that's wanting to get some more power, you know, definitely, you know, you want to do some ejectors, turbo, maybe an oil pump. It just really depends what they're using the truck for. You know, if you want to do, trying to do a lot of towing with it. And also if you're towing in elevation, it has a lot in what you plan to do with the truck. So, so it just depends what they want to do.
Say for that guy looking to make 1,000, 1,100, 1,200, what should they do at that point? Like, I'm sure you're going to be getting maybe into the heads a little bit, the, you know, building the engine, you know, some things like that. What should someone that's looking for that sort of build, you know, definitely make sure they got on their build list?
So definitely billet rods, stud main girdle. You're gonna have to do some head work. Definitely valves, some pretty beefy valve springs, push rods, a cam. And these engines, they don't make 1,000 horsepower on fuel. So you're gonna be making about 800 horsepower on fuel, and then you're gonna have to spray nitrous to it. So. And anytime you're spraying nitrous, you need to have a wastegate in there so you don't overspend that turbo, because bad things will happen.
Well, and also some jelly belt tuning with it, which yeah, I always love.
I always love tuning.
I love chatting about tuning. I mean, I don't know how to tune or anything like that. I just enjoy the difference between a stock truck and a tuned truck, and as you do upgrades, how the tuning kind of brings it together. So I'm sure there's guys out there that are in that 700-800 horse on fuel range, and they're going to spray it and they contact you. What's it like to tune those kind of higher power trucks? Like, what's the process if somebody calls or emails you and says, hey, Brian, I've got 750. I'm going to spray this thing to 1100. I want you to tune my truck. What are some questions you ask them, or how do you go about that process if they're not local to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to ask, like, how much nitrous you're spraying and, you know, what, like, what ultimate also, like, what kind of track times, what you're looking to do, you know, and I'll take into consider basically everything that they say, and I'll adjust the tuning accordingly. Yeah, that's probably, you know, it's pretty rare to get people that want to make that kind of power, but because most people want to make, you know, 450, 500 horsepower, but occasionally we do get, you know, the guy that wants to make 8 to 1,000 horsepower. So, but, you know, you want to have the fuel pulse width right, the ICP, you know, your duty cycle on the IPR, and all that stuff has to be, you know, set properly. And then running the truck and then doing some data logging, because we need to see what it's doing, see what kind of adjustments we have that we need to do. So
that 4 to 450 seems to be a real sweet spot. I think that's probably where, you know, a lot, 98%, 99% of people want to be in. And that's the one thing, one of the things I've gotten when I chat with 7.3 owners is they don't care about 600-700 horsepower tow rig daily driver. They want this thing to go 700,000 miles, 1 million miles, 800,000 miles. You know, they love the truck, they love the platform, but they're just looking for a little bit more for that trailer going up into the mountains, or, you know, hot shotting or something like that. And they'll ask a lot, what's kind of a power recipe, or what upgrades should I do to be able to, you know, get that 400 horse, 450 horse at the tire? What suggestions or what combinations have you found work really well for, you know, a 99.5 to 03 or early 99 to 03 to be able to make that kind of power?
So for a late 99 or even early 99 to 03, you know, you want to do like some stage 1.5 injectors, which is like a 180 cc, or some of the builders are like 175 cc, and the nozzle size would be a 30%. So that's going to be your injector that'll support like 450 horsepower. KC Turbo has some great options now for drop-ins, and they have three turbos now, the 300X series. For a 450 horsepower, I would recommend the Stage 2 KC drop-in, which is a 63 millimeter with a 73 turbo wheel. They spool really, really well. For a drop-in, you can't beat it. It's really the way to go for a turbo for that kind of power. You could do an upgraded HPOP. It's likely going to fall off on the ICP on a hot tune with those injectors and a factory 17 degree pump. So if you're trying to get the most out of it, yeah, I would do like a CNC fab stage 2 HPOP high pressure oil pump, or do an adrenaline HPOP. And then as far as a fuel system, Riffraff sells like a fuel crossover, which is nice, supplied plenty of fuel. It still uses the factory fuel bowl. For the guys that that want to delete the fuel bowl because they're prone to leaks and it just kind of clutters the engine, you get that factory fuel bowl out, you could do like an irate fuel system. It's a really nice kit. And then of course, you know, a hydro chip with R2s would work really well to make that kind of power. and definitely, you definitely need a built trans too, like a twisted diesel built 4R. That's what I run in my race truck, actually. I mean, it's a competition unit, but they do entry level, you know, stage 1, stage 2 builds on the 4R. And then also like Sam Wise is very well known. It's the transmission world for the 4R, BTS. You can't go wrong with any of those companies for a transmission.
With the transmission itself, you know, as far as a 4 to 450 horsepower setup, what kind of upgrades are you looking at? I'm sure, you know, they're going to have hydraulic upgrades, better clutches, but are we going to get into like a billet flex plate, billet input shaft, maybe other billet shafts or components to it?
This would be more like Twisted Diesel's stage. I guess they go by levels, level three trans. So I would recommend 450 horsepower would be a billet input with the 300 material, a four drum made out of 300M, and maybe a Everdrive Planetary. They probably don't need it for that kind of power, but definitely a four drum and input shaft would definitely be wise to do in a truck that's making 450 horsepower.
Do you need with the transmission, you know, itself and I think of the suspension and all that, is it pretty much good at like that 4 to 450 after you've done, you know, the power upgrades and the transmission, or should they also look into, you know, like traction bars or anything like that? Or is it, you know, is it really just the power of the transmission, the tuning, and you're good to go at 4 to 450?
I mean, the axles are pretty stout in the trucks. You know, some of the early 7.3 Super Duties, they had a Dana 50 in the front. So it just depends. If you're doing sled pulling or you know, doing some drag racing, you may want to swap out to like the 02 up, 02 to 04 actually, Dana 60, a little bit stronger front end. The rear ends are stout, but traction bars would be very, very wise to do because, you know, axle wrap and all that, they do tend to do it, you know, 450 horsepower, you'll get some axle wrap. So
do you need head studs or anything like that at that kind of power level?
Head studs, really 500. I usually tell everybody 500 horsepower, you need to do head studs, valve springs, push rods. If you're under 500 horsepower, it's not needed. So 450 horsepower is just it's a great power on a 7.3, and you don't have to get way overboard with parts. And really, I mean, you could just do the injectors and the turbo and get by on these trucks, the 99s to 02, 03, 7.3. I mean, you can get by with just doing those two mods, but it is nice to have all the other components to make it right. Yeah. So,
yeah, I think about sort of long term, and you know, if it is the original transmission in the truck and it's been there for 20 years, and then, you know, you bump up the power to 4 to 450, it's like, well, am I going to have an issue, be it stranded somewhere? And I know that's,
yeah, it's definitely a good idea to build it, especially if you're using it for towing and long distance traveling. Yeah, I mean, you need a good trans and a good transmission cooler too, because of the factory coolers are so small. So they will overheat pretty easily.
Now with the 7.3s, like when I think of whenever, you know, we got suggestions to have you on, people always want you to talk about 7.3s. And I was really curious, where did your passion for that platform, you know, come from? Was it they first came out, you really loved them, or what was the draw to the 7.3 Power Stroke?
Just, well, this is like Ford country out here. So there was a Ford plant. They actually shut it down right after I bought my truck. But, you know, it's Ford country out here in North Carolina. You know, I'm out right pretty close to Virginia Beach and Norfolk in Virginia. So it's definitely Ford country out here. And then just back in like 2007, just driving to college, and I saw this burgundy regular cab on the side of the road, and I was like, man, that's me right there. It was only, you figure it's only like 6 or 7 years old then. Actually, it was in 2004, so not 2007, so it was only 4 years old. I just saw it on the side of the road and I bought it, and just started reading on forums like the Diesel Stop and the Diesel Garage. That was before Facebook time, and just started reading, you know, David Lott with the Snow White 7.3. I don't know if you ever remember that truck. It was like a two-wheel drive. He was the fastest Power Stroke at one point, just like awing all over that truck. Just an awesome truck, you know, back in the day. And you know, Mike Dillahay had another burgundy truck that was making 600-700 horsepower. It was just really cool to see those, and definitely wanted to build mine after, you know, reading on those and watching videos and stuff like that.
I saw Mike's in person probably back in 2007, and I remember just seeing it roll into the dyno and then listening to it. I'm like, what is that? I've never seen a 7.3 like that kind of power. Like, what's done to that thing? It was really cool.
I remember that too, because you never really heard, really turned up 7.3s back then, and they just sounded so cool, and it just got my attention. And nobody had like fast trucks around here. I mean, I was like the first 7.3 with injectors around this area, and and all my buddies had brand new 6.0s back then. I was like, yeah, I'm coming for you, bud. Yeah, you want to run them? So
that's been it's a really cool evolution, and something that's been awesome to watch over the years. And what I really love about diesel trucks, any of the big three, is they don't feel like they're capped at a certain power level. Like when I think of the gas world, it's like if they change something, the programming, or they add something and it picks up 20, 30 horse, people want to rush out and buy that new model. Able to take a 7.3 and get it to 1400 horsepower. Or we see it with other trucks like the 6 liter and things like that, is you can have these older platforms. They're simpler. There's, things they don't have on them that the new ones do, but you can make as much or even more power. And I think that's really cool, because it doesn't feel like it has a life cycle. It feels like it can always be there. It's always something you could make into your dream truck, or something you can just have, be the ultimate, kind of daily driver, tow rig, get good fuel economy, have the simplicity of those older platforms there. And that's what I love about diesel.
Yeah, it's definitely really cool. The 7.3s have come a long ways since way back then, and we're still pushing. There's a couple guys out there that are still pushing 7.3, and we're gonna keep on pushing. Hopefully have a 7.3 four wheel drive in the forest next year. That's what I'm hoping for, in the 8th mile. So I don't think we're too far off there.
Are there, you'd mentioned earlier that you think that the engine can do 1700 to 1800. What do you think is standing in the way right now, or still needs to be solved to be able to get it to that level?
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, for my engine, I definitely need a bed plate and a good set of pistons. I was still running factory style cast pistons in my engine, but just, the late Brian Gray, I mean, he was running 470s in the 8th mile. 152 miles an hour, something like that. I mean, he was making 1700 horsepower, 1800 horsepower. There's been a couple other Huey guys that have been making that kind of power too. So I have the right chassis. I'm very light. I'm about to take more weight out of the truck. I'm going to be able to push it low fives pretty easily, maybe, goal in the fours. But it takes a lot of nitrous. It really does. And, Nitric Express has come a long ways over the last couple of years. Just big solenoids, running 2 15-pound bottles. I mean, that's what it's going to take, just a lot of nitrous. And I really wanted to lean on mine, but I just had some bad luck in the fall. So just had some bad luck. And this was a fairly fresh engine. I had put it in during the summertime, so I didn't get much run time, about 25 passes on it. It's very unfortunate, but just how it goes, it's playing with horsepower. So just how it goes. Had a bad oil leak and spun some bearings. So, but we're gonna do good next year. I'm looking forward to it. I got a lot of great companies on board to help me, we're gonna do good. So
I wanted to ask you about that part, because I know to make a lot of power and to just, you know, be out there racing, it takes a lot of support. What are some places that, you know, really help you, whether it's with information or knowledge, or, you know, they're helping to get stuff out to you quick if you need it, or you say, hey, I got an idea for something. Can you guys build this or make this or do this? Or, you know, who helps you go this fast?
Yeah. So Scott Morse, he built the engine that's in the truck now for me. He's been around 7.3 a long time. We collaborate a lot. You know, Charlie Fish over at KC Turbo, we've been sharing info, a lot of information over the years. You know, he's got his 6.0 drag truck that's pretty similar chassis to mine. So we share a lot of information together. He supplies us with a turbocharger that's on the truck currently, and it's a bulletproof turbo. It's really good. It's an S480 T6 that he spec'd out, one of his custom wheels in it. So it's a really nice turbo. Jared over at Kill Devil Diesel, he's actually about 15 minutes from here. So, you know, he's been helping me a lot. He's the run. I run like a Peterson R4 pump, oil pump on this engine. You know, he supplied me the oil pump, all the help to get it on. Just a great guy. His shop, all the people that work there are great. But there's a lot of people that's helped me with the truck, like Nate over at Unlimited Diesel. I have his injectors in the truck, 455, 400s. And, you know, I can call him up. We can talk, you know, collaborate, try to get some ideas going. You know, a lot of great companies. You know, iRate, Corey Hurd over at CNC Fab. You know, Paul Cohen, he built the chassis, the 25.6 SFI rated cage. You know, super safe truck. Probably leaving out some people. Yeah, Twisted Diesel, like Rave and Daryl over there at Twisted. I had a transmission issue. It was actually a converter problem. It wasn't even the trans, but, you know, he went through the trans in a weekend for me. I dropped it off on like a Friday and it was ready on like a Tuesday, like super fast turnaround on the trans. And they've been helping me on that since like 2008. And I was actually one of their first 4R builds that they ever did in the shop.
Wow.
Pretty cool. But yeah, just a lot of people that's been involved, a lot of companies. Definitely couldn't do it by myself, that's for sure. My friend, crew chief Zach Harwood, you know, he comes to track with me every time. Like I can't go to track by myself with this. There's no way. It takes two or three people to go to the track. So, you know, Zach's a great friend. Definitely been very helpful. You know, my wife, you know, she supports me in my hobby and, you know, good support there.
With, you know, with the racing side, I always get really fascinated. I mean, it's cool, you know, just by itself, but it's really the teamwork and kind of the team building and the sacrifice that goes into it that I really, really love to chat about, because it translates over into so many other things. Like I'm sure, you know, in 2017, you know, you had a name out there, people knew who you were, they'd seen the truck, but then you start a company and you need a team for that. Or, you know, people who are listening might not even be in diesel. Maybe they, you know, they work in some other industry. They understand that team building aspect to it. So it always really draws me in to hear how, you know, we see you in your truck and think, wow, it's going fast, it's making all this power, but we don't see and know all the things behind it, the late nights, the, you know, things you might miss, might not be able to do, the people that are coming to help you. And I think that's a really key component to the performance side, the business side, everything that goes into, you know, just pursuing a passion and a hobby.
Yeah, for sure. It's not easy, but it's definitely worth it. I know there's some ups and downs with the, you know, with the race truck, of course, but the ups definitely make up for it. You know, I've been doing this been racing this same truck for, I guess you can say 14, 15 years, and I'm still in it hardcore. Like just want to keep pushing. So,
do you think you'll always just race a 7.3, or have you thought about maybe trying something else? Maybe not a Cummins or Duramax, but maybe like a 6.0 or something different, or maybe a Cummins and a Duramax.
I thought about it. Yeah, I've thought about it. I know for one thing, I couldn't repower plant my truck. Ron Burgundy, I couldn't repower plant that just because it's been a 7.3. I'm, you know, that truck made me who I am. You know, it helped my business grow to where it is, and there's no way I could change the engine platform on in that truck. But I have thought about maybe buying like a roller. I would love to do like a Fox body Mustang with like a 6.0 or maybe a Cummins or something like that. You know, just buy a roller that's with a good cage in it. Go have some fun, maybe do some drag and drive events, because that looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I remember, gosh, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I chatted with Ryan Milliken, and it was when he was transitioning from racing his truck to, you know, doing the Nova, and to see how drag racing's evolved, you know, as well into these lighter vehicles and these different things that are going on. It's really interesting. Gosh, to see how far they've come and the different, just how fast they go, and the safety part too, how much that's advanced over the years to be able to protect the driver and the people that are there at the event. It's a really exciting, a really exciting time.
Yeah. It's amazing what, you know, how far diesels have come. You know, now we have two diesels in the threes. And you know, Milliken just yesterday, he went, or maybe it was the day before yesterday, went like a 4.1, you know, at the X275 top ET, top mile per hour down there in Florida. Like, you know, that's impressive. You know, he's got some gassers that are sweating. it's awesome. It's awesome to see him pushing that platform, you know, making 3,000 plus horsepower of a track. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely something, you know, cool to watch. I know whenever I get messages, it could be about any platform, but we're chatting about 7.3s, is it's somebody that has never owned a diesel before, but they're drawn to a platform for a specific reason. Like we had the guys from CP Addict on, and they talk about why they love the OBS trucks. It reminds them of, you know, being a kid or family and different things. And I mean, my first experience with a diesel was a 7.3. My dad had one, and it was so cool. But somebody's looking to buy one, or they just got it. They think, I just want to, maybe one day I'll look at 400 to 450 horsepower. Or maybe one day I'll do that 1,000 to 1,400 horse build. But for right now, I just want it to be as reliable as possible. What are like three things that every 7.3 owner should pay attention to or look into just to keep that reliability there, whether it's with the fuel system, the turbo, some of the electronics? What are three things you tell them to look out for?
So three things to really look out for. I mean, they're really, for a stock 7.3, they're very reliable engines. Definitely a transmission cooler would be pretty wise, you know, if it's an automatic, definitely a transmission cooler. But, you know, just they leak oil a lot. You know, 7.3s are known for leaking oil. Just make sure that, you know, all your oil leaks are fixed, you know, your fuel leaks, stuff like that. But, personally, I don't like the factory fuel bowl. I'd get that out. You know, if you're trying to make it more reliable, get the factory fuel bowl out of there and do like a, you know, like an irate fuel system. But, you know, putting a hydro chip in it will definitely wake it up a little bit, you know, for the guys that are just wanting to make a little bit more power, because yeah, everybody knows 7.3 doesn't make any power stock. So, you know, like intake, exhaust, you know, you can't go wrong with those items, those products. You know, maybe carry a, you know, a cam position sensor in your glove box, because every once in a while they'll let you down on the side of the road. But I mean, they're just great trucks. I mean, they're great trucks, very reliable. You really don't have to upgrade really any other parts until you start making power. So
with the you mentioned the transmission cooler. Which one do you like as far as a replacement for the stock one?
Mishimoto sells a pretty nice transmission cooler. You can do like a 6.0 intercooler out of a, you know, your 04 to 07 truck. They had a really big transmission cooler. Can't go wrong with those. But yeah, those two options are good. They're pretty good.
I wanted to ask you about your tuning a little bit more. Is, you know, if somebody has a stock 7.3 and they call you or email in and they want to tune it, what sort of power levels, you know, standard come with it? What are the different options that they can get?
So we carry 10 tunes. And we have like, you know, your high idle, your quiet mode, which is good for toning down the engine a little bit because they're loud. You know, go through the drive-through, you can put it in the quiet mode. We have a modified stock, which is basically a stock tune with some transmission tuning. And then we have like strenuous tow, which is your 40 horsepower tow. We have tow performance, which is like a 65 horsepower tow tune. Then we have eco mileage, which is the economy, daily driver, which is like an 80 horsepower, good daily tune. Then we have the hot street, extreme street, and drag ripper, those three tunes. And the drag ripper is like the 147. So that's the one that you get up beside somebody, you want to turn it the drag ripper and show them what's up. So, but you know, those horsepower numbers, when you start putting injectors and turbos in there, those horsepower numbers don't really mean anything, but but yeah, those tunes, they're really good. They're really good tunes. Cool thing about, you know, what I do with the Hydra is, you know, I'll load the tunes, I'll program the chip with my tunes, and then, you know, say if they need like a revision or a change in the tuning, like say if it's the shift points off just a little bit, you know, we can go in, make a change, we can actually email the tunes to the customer and they can program it using the Hydra Flash program. So that's really nice. But yeah, a lot of great reviews online with our tuning. So we do a really good job with it. And a lot of happy customers.
Does the transmission tuning as you go through the power levels stay there as you start to add power? And if so, what does it change versus stock? Is it shift points? Can you control the converter lockup with it? Or I'm not really familiar with how to tune a 4R 100 or what changes with them. So I'm curious about that.
So 4R it's got four gears. That's why it's 4R. But so with a 4R, from the factory calibration, it hits lockup and fourth gear at the same time. So it runs to the gear. It runs to the gears really fast too, the factory calibration. So it just really lugs the engine down. You're not able to make, you know, decent boost. So what I do is I extend the shift points out a good bit, and I also move lockup from fourth gear. I move it into third gear. So I've actually moved lockup halfway into third and fourth gear. So it feels like an extra gear, but it's lockup. So, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't get under the turbo as bad. And it just, because if you delay that to lock up to fourth gear, it's just so much, it just drags the motor down so much. So yeah, we move that lock up a little bit sooner. But, and of course, you know, at wide open throttle, we command lock up. We normally command lock up in second gear. So depending on the customer, some people want it, you know, third gear, or even some guys want it in like fourth gear, but you know, we'll tailor it to the customer, whatever they want. So
that's really cool. Especially I imagine when they add injectors and turbo and you're changing the power level, how much freedom you have with the transmission, because they work in unison. So you can definitely, you know, either enhance, you know, what upgrades are done on the truck, or just give them that drivability or that response that people want.
Yeah. And we can also adjust shift pressures too. Like say if it's feeling sloppy, we can go in and firm the shifts up. We can also, you know, tone it down some if it shifts really hard, because some of these transmission builders out there, they'll set up the accumulator body very, very aggressive, and it's, you know, knocking your teeth out when it's shifting. So we can go in the tuning and we can lower it down. Normally we can fix it with the tuning if it's set up very aggressive. So, but a lot of people don't know this either. You know, the more power you make, the firmer the shifts have to be, you know, wide open throttle, like the more aggressive you have to set up in the bow body. So, because power will soak up those shifts. So you really have to, you know, boost up the pressures and stuff like that.
Is that, as far as driving it every day, and say, you know, the person's never had a built transmission or done transmission tuning, what should they expect from shift firmness? Going from stock to, you know, changing the pressures and the different shift points, is it a really firm shift? Is it something that is just a little firmer than stock, or what should somebody expect from that?
So our tuning is, we just bump it up just a little bit, because most people, they don't want a really firm shift. They'll usually say, yeah, it's too firm. So I personally like a firmer shift, like a nice firm shift, but most people, they don't prefer that. So I don't bump it up too much. But again, I'll tailor to whoever. If they want a firm shift, I'll give them a firm shift. I don't like shifts that are banging gears really hard, you know, chirping tires. That's just going to break parts.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, I'm sure there's a ton of questions I didn't ask you, Brian, that somebody with a 7.3 probably has, or maybe they're ready to do a tuning or do some upgrades. How can they get in contact with you or somebody at the shop to either ask the questions, or maybe they're just, you know, listened and they're like, I'm ready to order. I want to, you know, get some more power for my 7.3.
Yeah. Well, we have different power packages too. Like, it's pretty much like the one that I gave out on the podcast. That's our 425 package. It's like our stage two package. So it comes with injectors, turbo. Then you can add on all the goodies that I had mentioned too. But yeah, if anybody's listening, they want to contact our company, it's our phone number is 833-JELLYBUILT, and that's 833-535-4284. And then also jellybuilt.com. So JELIBUILT.com.
Cool. I like power packages because it makes it really simple and easy to just, this is what I want, send me everything I need, and I'll be on my way. So it takes the guesswork out of it.
Yeah. 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 We have, depending on the year, we have three or four different packages. So, you know, you got the 375 package, which is like stage one injector, stage one turbo. Then you got stage two that we had talked about. Then we have a stage three package, which that one makes close to 500 horsepower with a 205 cc hybrid injector, the same turbo from the 425 package. And that's a fun package. So, and you're at that limit too, or that power level that you don't have to go crazy with all the engine supporting mods and stuff like that. So it's a very, between the 425 and the 475 package, you know, those are our best sellers.
Very cool. Well, I appreciate you chatting with me today. Today, Brian, I always, you know, I hear things that you're doing out there, and people, a lot of people watch you. They're 7.3 enthusiasts, and they love what you're doing with the platform and the way that you push it. And I appreciate you answering a lot of my questions that I get from listeners all the time. So I'm sure that people listening will definitely find, you know, a lot of really good information that's out there. And keep me updated next year, you know, when you're going to go race, and the times and everything. So I like to follow our, you know, guests that have been on, and these things that are going on in diesel. So definitely keep me updated on them.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on, Patrick, and we'll do it again hopefully soon. And appreciate all the listeners out there. And so,
don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to Kershaw Knives on Instagram, Facebook. You can follow the link down below. Use code DIESEL20 for 20% off site wide. It's a great way to save some money on a really cool knife. If you're a knife enthusiast, they got a lot of different choices for opening mechanisms, different types of blade material, handle materials. It's a really cool website that they have to be able to filter through and find what you're looking for. Or if you just need something to work hard, you know, throw in a toolbox or in the glove compartment, you know, in your truck or something around the house, they've got something for everybody. I want to give a special shout out to some of our Patreon supporters, Tyler Lowen of 23 Diesel, Caleb, John. We appreciate all of our Patreon supporters, all of you who watch on YouTube, subscribe on podcast apps, or if you're on our Discord, Discord is a great way to be able to connect with us and other diesel podcast fans to be able to chat about builds and turbos, injectors, transmissions, tons of things that you guys are working on, and get some feedback and just be able to chat with other diesel enthusiasts who listen to the podcast. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.